Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
Maureen Moakley is away this week. Filling in for her is the investigative reporter for WPRI Channel 12, Tim White. Thanks for joining us, Tim.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
And we're pleased to welcome back one of the five Democratic candidates for mayor of Providence, Brett Smiley. Thanks for being here, Brett.
Good morning. Thank you.
Brett, we'll start with some questions for you. As we said, there are five Democrats running for mayor, and that field will be paired during the primary on September 9th. One of the big unknowns is whether Buddy Cianci gets into the race. If Cianci does get in, will that help or hurt your campaign?
You know, we have a plan to run and win this race regardless of whether Buddy Cianci enters it. I will say that we've been putting out substantive plans and buttressing them with transparency and openness. And I don't think the city of Providence is ready to go back to the old ways and a mayor who spent time in federal prison for corruption. And so I think the city's going to move forward regardless of whether or not he runs. And we have a plan to win that race.
As it stands right now, Providence City Council President Michael Solomon has the most money and a series of crosstown endorsements. How do you plan to overcome at least the perceptual sense that he might be the front runner?
You know, we've actually raised more money since I entered this race than any other candidate in this race. And political endorsements don't win races. Voters do. And so we've been effectively communicating our message. We've been garnering support from people who've made a financial contribution, that have made an investment in my candidacy. And I know that we're going to be able to execute on the plan that we've written.
Let's go to Scott.
Brett, we see that the Providence schools have had to go around the graduation requirements, getting the waiver process going. What's wrong with our schools? What could you do to turn them around? And is it smart for them to be going in for this waiver?
So our schools need everything. We need more strong and effective teachers. We need more good principals. We need better facilities. We need it all, particularly when it comes to graduation requirements. What we need are fewer but fairer tests. I think testing's a part of life, and most of the candidates have agreed that the kneecap, and myself included, is the wrong test. But what we need to do is get a test that tests the right things that we all can have confidence in, and then we need to reduce the amount of testing so we can focus more on instruction.
Let's go to Tim White.
Brett, we know you support raising the minimum wage, but what about the proposal to go up to $15 an hour for hotel workers?
So the best way forward for our city is through broad-based minimum wage increase, really statewide. I'm very concerned that raising the minimum wage for just one classification of workers would actually be bad for those workers. I think it'd be great for hotel jobs in Warwick, frankly. And so the way forward for us in order to respect the work of all of our workers in the city is to raise the minimum wage, and I'll work hard for its passage.
To what?
To 1010.
The Rhode Island House of Representatives this week passed a bill to make evaluations of teachers considered highly effective and effective every 4 and 3 years, respectively, instead of annually. Critics like State Education Commissioner Deborah Gist and Republican gubernatorial candidate Ken Block say making this evaluation less frequent is a mistake. What do you say, Brett?
I think that the real question is how do we evaluate teachers in a way that increases teacher effectiveness and results in better instruction? The reality is that good evaluations take time, and there's a logistical concern about how much time principals have to evaluate their teachers properly. But I do support good quality evaluations done as frequently as we can accommodate them.
Just a quick follow-up. Most professionals get a yearly evaluation. Should teachers get the same thing?
We have a situation where we have not been in a comprehensive way evaluating our teachers. And so in order to get up to speed, there's some logistical challenges. There's a lot of teachers in the Providence system, and it takes time to properly evaluate people. So as we lead into this new system, we may need a little extra time.
What do you make of this back and forth on teacher evaluations, Tim?
Well, the talk on Smith Hill is that Speaker Mattiello let this one go through because he stood fast on keeping the kneecap graduation requirement. It's now, of course, in the Senate's hands, and that tends to be labor friendly. So we'll see what happens there. But I think certainly for the two groups, School Committee Association and the Superintendents Association, this one caught them off guard.
Scott, are annual evaluations for teachers an important part of improving public education in Rhode Island?
It would be good if we had the infrastructure to do that and if we had done this for years. What happened for too many years in this state, particularly in this city, where there was real political interference in the schools, is that teachers just got pushed along, like the students did, for seat time. And so any teacher who's in the system seemed to go through the 3-year tenure process and get tenure. And after that happens, it becomes very tough to do anything with them. So I think what you have to do is to be fair to the teachers, you have to give them some help to get them ready for this. And then you have to impose a rigid yearly evaluation would be fine.
The major gubernatorial candidates are making more frequent public appearances, and two of them, Democrat Gina Raimondo and Republican Alan Fung, have gone up on TV with commercials as we move closer to the September 9th primary. What kind of impact do you expect from these commercials, Scott?
Well, obviously, everybody's going to be on TV at one point or another. And I think Raimondo, in one respect, is lucky enough to have so much money that she can basically saturate the airwaves and won't have to go down. The thing about politics is once you go up on television, you don't want to go dark. You want to have enough money so you can keep a television run going all the way to the primary. Obviously, she can do that. These two ads are basically feel-good ads, introductory ads, which is what you want to do at the start. It's really going to get interesting when they start firing televised salvos at each other and then negativity starts. That's going to be very interesting to see how the vulnerabilities are reflected on television.
Brett Smiley, you're an Angel Tavares supporter. Are you concerned that his lesser amount of campaign fundraising will handicap him in this air war of television commercials?
I think that there is going to be a very competitive race for governor and that all of the major candidates appear to have sufficient resources to run and win. There is a point of diminishing return with money where an extra dollar doesn't do as much for you, and Angel has plenty.
Tim White, what do you say?
Well, as a TV guy, I'll talk about the TV ads. And look, these things get more expensive as you get closer to election day, and there is a school of thought that you want to get up on TV before school is out, and that way that's because viewership is down in the summer. Gina Raimondo can do that. As Scott pointed out, she can afford it. Alan Fung can't. He doesn't have as much money, so I do think that this is an effort by Mayor Fung to try and change the narrative, which has been rather negative for him lately.
Governor Chafee has nominated the head of the State Department of Administration, Richard Leach, as a Superior Court judge. This was a very expected move. There's some debate about whether Leach is either well-qualified or a beneficiary of crony politics. What do you say, Brett Smiley?
You know, I think that Richard is a highly qualified lawyer and public servant. I will say that there remains this cloud over so much of Rhode Island government, not the least of which is the way in which we nominate judges and magistrates and the like. And so we need to do a better job of making sure that there's a proper public vetting process and that there's confidence in the Judicial Nominating Commission so that we can all have confidence in our judiciary.
Tim, what's your take on Leach's nomination?
All right. Well, look, this should be scrutinized. Okay. He is the director of administration. He's Governor Chafee's right-hand man, and people have the right to be suspect. And that's why we should be filing reports and looking at it. That being said, he is immensely qualified. 66 years old. He has the right background. He has the right education. If his resume isn't up to snuff, then I would say a strong percentage of the current sitting judges at the judiciary have a problem.
How about you, Scott?
Look, he's both a crony and he's qualified. There's no, I mean, that's just the fact. The guy was a longtime lobbyist, former lieutenant governor, former state senator. As Tim says, you know, Harvard Law School. He certainly has the resume for the job. The only thing that bothers me about these kind of judicial appointments are when a lot of lawyers out there in the state see this, they don't apply. And you hear this constantly among good members of the bar. Mm. They don't apply for judgeships because they figure they see a Billy Carnes, they see Judge Rogers' daughter, they see all this insider stuff.
Montalbano.
Joe Montalbano. They figure Patty Harwood. They figure, why should I apply? My name's going to get out there. My clients are going to think I don't want to represent them. And therefore, it's wired anyway. So they're just going to figure it's not worth the time. And that's the sad part of all this.
While we have Tim White here, let's give him some props for doing a good story and breaking a lot of news on 38 Studios. What are you keeping your eye on now, Tim?
Well, thanks, Ian. And obviously, we know there's no federal investigation. The U.S. Attorney's Office has said that. But we do know there's a state police probe. Its scope is unknown. So all eyes are on the Attorney General's office. When are they going to come out, if at all, with charges? When is there going to be a grand jury, if there isn't any now? I would say of the soup of 38 Studios, that's the one aspect that I'm really keen I'm focusing on.
Yeah, we want to know if it's stupidity or criminal.
There you go.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
Tim White from Channel 12.
Thanks, Ian.
And Providence mayoral candidate Brett Smiley.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoyed the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.